Hello and welcome to the Smashy Business Show. Today is Wednesday, May 21st, 2025, and I'm Warid Ahmed.
And I'm Masa Haymouni.
And for today, we're going to be discussing the key announcements from Qatar's Economic Forum. Day one, we're also going to discuss how the UK has halted trade talks with Israel, and the EU is reassessing its ties with Israel amid the horrifying genocides in Gaza. We're also going to discuss how Saudi Arabia is planning a $100 billion Project Paradise in Riyadh. And finally, Saudi prop tech startup Ijari is eyeing an expansion as rental demand surges. Now, for our first topic of today, at the Qatar Economic Forum, just as a summary, firstly, the Prime Minister, Sheikh Mohammed bin Abdulrahman Al Thani, addressed controversy over Qatar's gift of a luxury Boeing 747 to the U.S., calling it a normal transaction. Now, he compared the gesture to historic gifts like the Statue of Liberty and clarified that the jet, valued at up to $125 million, is for official U.S. government use, not Donald Trump personally. Now, the aircraft designed by Alberto Pinto still lacks key Air Force One upgrades.
Chelsea's chairman Todd Boehly described the Middle East as the most exciting part of the world for the next couple of decades. He praised Qatar's global influence and noted Saudi Arabia's insurance sector as future opportunity, especially ahead of major events like the World Cup and Expo. His firm is expanding regionally with offices already being set up.
And Tesla CEO Elon Musk, now this was a very big appearance. It was through video call, though. He used the forum to actually reassure investors, confirming he will stay at Tesla for at least 5 more years. Now, he defended his call for more Tesla shares, saying it's about reasonable control, not money. Now, Musk also announced a pause in political donations and hinted at a future Starlink IPO, but said there's no rush. He also accused Bill Gates of links to Jeffrey Epstein and revealed Neuralink is helping a UAE patient regain sight.
And on the investment front, Saudi Arabia's sovereign wealth fund will halt investments in Switzerland, citing frustration over the Credit Suisse rescue. Meanwhile, Goldman Sachs is deepening its front print in the region, opening a new office and expanding staff to access Gulf capital.
And finally, for the last update of this entire forum, UBS is setting up shop in Abu Dhabi, targeting wealthy clients fleeing high-tax regions. Now, private credit is also gaining traction among Gulf sovereign funds, though Qatar's investment authority remains cautious. However, it plans to double its annual investments in the U.S., contributing to its ambitious $500 billion global strategy. I think with this entire forum, it was completely crazy because you have Elon Musk, Massa, who's showing up through video call, by the way, with his like cup of coffee, and even the way that he's answering questions, it's so objective, it's so to the point. By the way, regarding the point about if he's gonna keep donating to the U.S. government, like, after every single election, because he donated a lot to Trump.
Yeah.
But we can see why. It's because he gave him a role in the government. He said that he's not doing it. He does not see a reason for it at the current moment. That was his response. But for me, what was interesting, it was the fact that the Chelsea chairman, Todd Boehly, was there. Recently, have you seen the Damac Hills 2 sponsorship?
Yeah.
Exactly. It's you know, for me, I wasn't surprised when he was like, this is the most, you know, exciting part of the world for the next decade, because you can see that in Chelsea FC. They partnered with Damac Hills 2 to make Chelsea residences.
Yeah. Like, they flew to UK to have this, by
the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
They signed it in the UK. They had a really big event. Instead of having it here in Dubai, they had it in the UK.
Who flew there?
The Damac company with their employees and some media outlets also flew.
Wow.
Yeah.
I see. I'm just so curious to see how these like Chelsea branded residences are going to look. We hear that they're going to be like ultra, you know, for the ultra high net worth people. So we're going to see how that. They also had a shirt sponsorship.
Is it going to be blue?
Obviously, I think so. I think so, probably. But if the walls are painted blue, I think that will
blue
be
and
very
white?
Interesting. Yeah, I think that will be very interesting there.
Just imagine like a bunch of houses with blue colors.
Yeah, I can't. I don't think I can do that. I would think that I'm in the sea. But anyways, moving to our next topic of the day. You know, on a serious note, the United Kingdom has paused trade negotiations with Israel amid growing international concern over the genocide in Gaza and violence in the occupied West Bank. Now, Prime Minister Keir Starmer said, "I want to put on record today that we are horrified by the escalation from Israel and urged immediate humanitarian access to Gaza."
Only five aid trucks have entered Gaza after 11 weeks of near total blockade, far short of the 500 needed daily. The UK has summoned Israel's ambassador and announced new sanctions targeting West Bank, settlers and related entities, citing what it calls deeply concerning developments in the region.
And the UK-Israel 2030 roadmap is now under review. Israel, meanwhile, has rejected the criticism, calling it politically motivated. Now, diplomatic observers say this could mark a shift in Britain's traditionally strong support for Israel.
And economic ties remain significant. In 2024, UK-Israel trade totaled £5.8 billion, with exports to Israel reaching £3.2 billion and imports at £2.5 billion. Over 1.7 million jobs in the UK are linked to exports to Israel.
And even what's actually more interesting is it was discovered that Israel supplies more than 14% of the NHS's medicines, largely through this Israel-based company, Teva Pharmaceuticals. And more than 400 Israeli tech companies operate in the UK, supporting over 16,000 jobs.
It was a collective stance between Canada, France, and the UK, but the UK was the first person to publicly announce that they want to halt those trade negotiations. And it's surprising, it was really surprising to me to see UK take such stance, because previously, if you look at it a year ago, they were major and big supporters of Israel and big supporters of this attack on Gaza, I would call it. So to see that the world is uniting on the escalation and how it's becoming worse and worse, daily worse, and halting the aid, halting the end of war, halting any negotiations for the ceasefire. You're seeing a shift, especially in the West.
I know, and it's so surprising.
It is.
I don't expect it at all. Yeah. I really don't. But it still continues, though. And I think with this entire case, Massa, they've suspended trade talks. They haven't actually halted trade. Mm-hmm. Trade is still going. Mm-hmm. It's just more of, I'm not talking to you right now. You know, you're doing something crazy. We're not having discussions, but the trade does continue.
It will still be like a threat to Netanyahu, because if one country is a really powerful country is willing to do that, it's going to call for more countries to step up and say, okay, we want to suspend any trade negotiations.
But this is what's concerning here, though, Massa. It's the fact that Israel supplies more than 14% of the NHS's medicines to them. So the NHS, you know, that they're the main medical system in the UK, and to know that, it's almost as if the UK will actually take the brunt of this more so than Israel, because you know, their medical system already suffers.
Yeah.
So to take away those medicines, I think there's a lot of cause of concern here, but the trade has not stopped.
Yeah,
you know, it's more of discussions that they've halted. But on to some good news next.
Saudi Arabia's public investment fund is in the early planning stages of $100 billion mixed-use developments in Riyadh, internally condemning Project Paradise. That's according to sources who spoke to AGBI. The project is expected to be local southwest and of the capital near Wadi Laban.
Now, initial ideas include a golf course, commercial areas, leisure zones and residential communities. There's also a proposal to turn the nearby Wadi Laban reservoir into an artificial lake. Now, while designs haven't been finalized, the project was briefly referenced at the Saudi Giga Projects conference this week.
And Project Paradise marks a noticeable pivot by the PIF toward projects with quicker commercial returns, more in line with Dubai-style real estate developments. It comes as the fund recalculates its Vision 2030 portfolio in response to tightening finances and more cautious investment climate.
And Saudi Arabia is currently facing a projected $27 billion budget deficit for 1 year with oil prices falling below its fiscal break-even point. Now, PIF's reserves have declined to $15 billion, and dividend income from Aramco is expected to fall by $40 billion. As a result, there has been some pending on some mega projects, which has been reduced by up to 16%. Spending.
Despite the cuts, PIF is protecting investment tied to Expo 2030 and the FIFA World Cup 2034. A smaller F&B-focused development is expected by year end. Project Paradise also supports Vision 2030 goals to boost home ownership and attract foreign investors.
I think with this story, it's interesting that they're doing something like this because of the fact that it's like this is a project for them to get quick returns. Mm. And I think right now that's so important because, by the way, the price for oil per barrel has fallen so much. Yeah. I remember it used to be around $80. Mm. Now it's around $60-something.
Whoa.
That's such a stark difference. And I remember.
And how much of a percentage is that?
I'm not sure, but I remember that for Saudi to have the budget to do everything that it wants to do, it needed for it to be at least $90 per barrel. So, you know, I would say that, you know, the price cuts regarding the oil are definitely causing this. But I think it's beautiful that Saudi is doing these big real estate projects because, I mean, there is nothing people are more obsessed with more than real estate. There is
especially
nothing.
Especially the Middle East region.
No, seriously, there is nothing that they're more obsessed with. And by the way, like with the Gulf, for the longest time ever, there was this trend of all of them investing in real estate outside. So, like, in Germany, in the UK,
it's becoming here.
Exactly. Now it's going to come here, and they're going to do it more and more. But you know what this has me specifically thinking of? So, basically, there was this fund that was launched 8 years ago, Masa, and it's called STV. I believe it stands for Saudi Technology Ventures. And basically, this fund, it was backed by a firm called STC. And what they do is they support Saudi startups. They basically fund companies that are going to lead the future of the Middle East. And just to, like, name some of the startups that they've backed Tabby, which is, like, a very big name. They've backed Flowered.
Oh my God, Flowered!
Yes, we work with them.
Yeah.
The Flower. But basically, they've backed all these companies. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these companies, by the way, soon, you can buy stake in them soon.
I would love to buy a stake in Tabby.
Really?
Yeah.
It's going to IPO soon, by the way. I think, inshallah, in 2026.
I think I would buy in Tabby.
And I think with Tabby, the reason, by the way, their story is so special is because I was saying this to Majid Masa. You know that they launched in 2018? They launched in 2018.
I just recently found out.
And in 4 years, they became valued at $1 billion. Whoa. They became a unicorn. This does not happen every single day.
No, it doesn't.
Not every single day does this happen. So I think for me, that's why their story stands out to me so much. Mm. And I believe it was launched in Dubai, but the founder, Hussein, he's Saudi.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're definitely linked there. But it's like with this fund, STV.
But it's a very smart plan. Honestly.
It is a very smart plan. But, you know, back to this fund, STV, what they're doing is they're basically trying to be a part of every single big startup that is coming here, every single big company. And right now there is another startup that is coming, and it's called Ijari, and it's scaling up operations as demand rises for its rent now, pay later platform. Basically, the Riyadh-based company is building what it calls a full-service real estate super app, expanding from flexible rental payments into services like furnishing, maintenance, and relocations.
Founded in 2022, Ejari's model involves leasing properties in bulk from landlords and then subleasing them to tenants on monthly installment plans. CEO Yazid El-Shamsi says the model creates a win-win upfront payments for landlords and affordable monthly payments for renters, many of whom previously faced rigid 6 or 12-month terms.
And Ejari currently operates in 17 cities and reported over $50 million in service demand, up from $30 million in its first year, all with minimal marketing spend. Now, the startup also closed a $14.65 million seed round in October, backed by investors like Partners for Growth, Bico Capital, and Alimna Pay.
Al-Shamsi says that the company is now preparing to expand into commercial and industrial leasing, targeting offices, shops, malls, and warehouses. He describes Ejari as laser-focused on its core rental products before expanding further. We're a long way from profitability, he admitted, but growth is the current priority.
And with a default rate between 13 to 15%, Ejari is refining its credit systems while leveraging partnerships with major property marketplaces. As it deepens its market reach across urban and rural areas, Ejari expects revenues to grow up to 8 times this year. Yeah. And this is what I mean. It was founded in 2022. And this is how far they've come now. Exactly.
I feel
that you don't see something like this anywhere but here in the Gulf, where companies take off so quickly.
We've seen a lot of boost in real estate in the past 2 years.
I know. It's crazy. It is really crazy. But Masa, would you ever honestly pivot to being a real estate agent? Because something that I hear a lot when people discuss this is, you know, it's my time to go be one. Would you ever try it?
No.
I agree with you. I see what you mean.
No.
I feel like it's a lot of haggling.
You have to have a certain type. Yeah, cold. I think like cold calls are becoming a thing of the past.
Really?
We still get cold calls, but I think they realize that it doesn't really work. I think if you're part of a big company, real estate agency, they don't
classy.
Do it. It does not feel classy. We do get a lot of calls, but I think they do realize it's not going to work. You have to have this certain type of personality to be a real estate agent. Because being a salesperson in a media company is so different than being a real estate agent in the real world. Mm. You have to have that convincing, I want to say a word, like, please don't get offended, like a cunning personality.
No, I agree with you. I see what you mean.
Yeah.
I don't think I have it in me to be cunning.
Yeah, I don't either.
To be honest with you, it's not even about cunning. I think of it as a matter of class. I really do believe in doing like business in class.
Class.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, in doing it in a classy way. Oh my God, I saw something very recently, Masa, which was so crazy. It was like this white influencer who was talking on this podcast. I forgot the name of the podcast. I really do hope that I remember it.
Yeah.
And he was basically saying that there is nothing that I trust more in this world than doing business with a Muslim. Did you see that podcast?
I know. I didn't see that podcast, no, but like, I get it.
I saw what he was saying. He's like, there. When I come to the Middle East and I do business there, I really do trust doing business with them because they're not going to screw me over.
It's ethical.
And I found that so, so interesting. I really did. Because what do you think about that?
What do I think about that? I think it's also because here in the Middle East, we have really strict rules on rental and prices and sales. But in our religion, it really does enforce the fact that you have to be very ethical. You have to be honest with what you give.
You can't just screw people
over. You can't screw people over. It's still a big sin if you do that.
Exactly. I do agree with you. Masa, thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome.
Inshallah, Majid will be back tomorrow. Thank you so much for watching. This is Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production under the Augustus Media Podcast Network. Do make sure to keep with our newsletter, and thank you so much for watching.
Bye-bye.